Second Chronicles. You don't remember what chapter? Okay, thank you, Russell. The seventh chapter. Hallelujah. What verse?
1-8 and 14.
Stopped at 14. All right, then. I'm not going to go back over it. If you want to hear it, Brother Andrew, CDs he made. Amen. I've been listening to myself for a change. But all I find myself doing is correcting myself. Should have said this, you shouldn't have said that. And God said, you said what I wanted you to say.
Right.
I said, but I could have done it better. He said, you couldn't have done it no better. If you'd have done it better, you'd have done it in yourself. Right. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. Jesus. Thank you. Somebody caught it. I'm going to teach that one day. Did y'all laugh? We're talking about Solomon. King Solomon. Well, he wasn't king at the time. But he was working his way up to it. He was trying to put himself in the heart of God. And a lot of times, the only place you can put, recent way you can put yourself in the heart of God is by becoming the heart of God. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll pick up at let's pick up at 13. God said, listen to me. If there ever came a possibility where I need to shut the heavens up, that there would never rain, and if I command or I speak and I tell the locusts, I go to the locusts themselves and I tell them, eat up everything. Anything you come across, you eat it up. Now see, I didn't see this last week, but I saw it this morning when I was up going over this. I realized that a certain scripture popped into my spirit. I didn't get a chance to really look at the scripture up, but some of you theologians, you know where it's at. For even the creation groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
Even creation. What is he letting us know? That just like God had authority over, we have authority over. We just haven't come to a place supernaturally where we can believe it when we say it. Somewhere down the line of our salvation, we lost that ability to believe what we say. Remember, we didn't talk about this. How many long time ago when you first got saved, your car didn't start? You rebuked that car.
Yep. Yeah.
And when you got new brand, it started. You knew you was about to run out of gas. And you said, car, you gonna keep going till I can get someplace. And you knew that car was out of gas because a couple times it went. But it went another 10 miles. Now you do it, they go, you're done. You lay hands on rebuke it, it still don't start. Why? Because our thinking has become stinking. And we pray, but we don't expect it to stop.
Amen.
We know we're about to run out of gas, but we don't expect to be able to make it. Solomon had a certain expectation with God where he could actually see what he was talking about. And God came back and was talking to him saying, look here, son. I appreciate you building these temples. I appreciate it so much. And we talked about the bulls, the cows, and the sheep. How many? You have to imagine how big this temple was. We didn't talk about how big the temple was. It was what, 120,000 cows, and somewhat 101. Anybody studied this over the week? Told you, don't take my word for it. You better find out for yourself.
220,000
oxen. and 120,000 sheep in one area. Let your imagination go. In one area. In God's power, he was so pleased with it that he burned up everything in that temple. We have to ask yourself, who cleaned that mess up? It don't say nothing about cleaning it up. Because when God burned it up, he burned it up. He disintegrated. There was nothing to clean. That's how pleased he was. When we do what God called us to do, God will burn up some stuff in our lives. And you don't have to worry about cleaning it up because he makes it disintegrate. Amen. That's why you don't have to worry about revisiting it, because it is not there. If I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, if I command a locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence, if I send all kind of diseases and all this, which there are, he said, among or within my people, if my people, which are chosen, picked, separated, according to or through my what? Name. What did we say name meant in the Hebrew in this particular verse? It means honor, authority, or character. It's not far from now where we are now. God is looking for us to change our character.
Amen.
So he can recognize it. It's so I get so tickled when I think about, you know, we quote simple scriptures and we just quote them, but we don't think of the significance and the power of that verse. Jesus said, when you see me, you see my Father. And when you see my Father, you see me. Well, we know that no time anybody has ever seen God. So how can you possibly know what God looks like? But Jesus had the nerve to say, when you see me, you see him. That's because the Father was love, and what he represented was in Jesus' character.
Amen. Amen.
If your character hasn't been transformed by the renewing of mind, renewed by the Word of God, then you won't have the character that God will recognize.
Amen.
You say, well, what's that have to do with the temple? This has everything to do with this temple that he's building. Well, by now he has built it. God said, if my people, which are chosen, picked, separated, according to my character, who align themselves with honor and with authority and with my character, if they, you know, what he's saying is sometimes we can get a little big-headed.
Yeah.
We think we know it all. I've been there.
Amen.
I used to harass Brother Hart all the time. He used to put up with it. I don't know why, but I guess he was a man of God. Pastor Hart, when you going to bring somebody through here that's teaching some word? He let me get away with it. You know, for some reason, they just like me sitting in their office. I'd be upstairs teaching Sunday school. I'd get a phone call. Can you come over here? I'm thinking it's something important. Nothing. Just sit there. Well, you know, I'm going to be doing this morning. I go, okay, Pastor, all right, I'm saying, you do that all the time. So I decided an evangelist just left, not going to mention their name. I go, say, well, they're man or female. But they had just left, and they did more hollering than they did preaching. So I decided I was going to ask them again, Pastor, all right, when you going to bring such and such back? Or such and such, the folks that really taught that word. He said, if you got to have so much word, why you ain't feeding yourself? Stop complaining about this and about that and get you a spoon, a fork, and a knife and dissect your own food. That ain't the way he said it. But you know, if you knew Brother Hart, you could imagine the way he said it. But he said it. And I was hotter than a firecracker. And then I guess I opened up a door, Brother Andy. And furthermore, I don't care nothing about your gifts anyway. All I care about is your faithfulness. I said, what's that got to do with the word? Well, I didn't ask him that, but that's what I was thinking. I figured I already got myself in deep enough. Now I was trying to get out. He sure got out there and preached on me that morning, too. And the first thing he told me when we finally hit the platform, don't you move. If you got to go to the bathroom, you go now. I knew something was up when he said that. He preached on me the whole morning. How'd you like my message, brother? I still got the victory. I'm saying to myself, that wasn't right. You ain't supposed to be preaching on me. But that's familiar nowadays. If you're not going to preach Jesus' word, then you need to shut up.
Amen. Come on.
Humble ourselves. See, I had got up it because I had been studying and found out some stuff and assumed that what I was hearing wasn't good enough. But God was letting me know it is good enough, because if you've learned anything through what you study, you find out that you're supposed to get something out of any message that you hear.
Come on.
Amen.
Regardless of how deep or how simple it may be.
Amen.
God said, if you call by my name, if you got my character, my nature, you go humble yourselves.
Amen.
You go subject yourself.
Amen.
You go break yourself down and not be so high-minded. Then you got to pray. Meaning you have to, what we say it means in the Hebrew, to judge yourself. Then you got to seek my face, search out, strive after my face or the presence of my countenance. And then you got to turn, retreat. From your wicked ways. Well, most of the times we don't retreat from our wicked ways because we don't assume we're doing anything wicked. When the word means ruach, or natural, or you living according to your own morality. I'm in a position now where I hear a lot of different pastors and preachers talk, and I keep my mouth shut, but I listen closely and intently. And some of the stuff I hear them talk about is not going to cause the body of Christ to grow. It's going to make us selfish in ourselves.
Amen.
But God said, I want you to retreat from your morality. There's only one way you can retreat from your morality is by aligning yourself with this word. He says, if you do it, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I need my land healed.
Amen.
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 I don't know about you, but I think I need my land healed.
Yes.
What is my land? It's this earth. Every place I put my feet is my land.
Yes.
My house, if I go to work, that becomes my land.
Right.
When I'm in my car, that's my land. Yes. Wherever you are, that becomes your land. And guess what we need? We need it healed. Yes. If you got problems on your job, you need a healing on your job. If you got problems with your vehicle, you need a healing in your vehicle. If you got problems in your body, which is your land, then you need a healing in your body.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't get it unless you first humble yourself before God and retreat from those injurious ways or those morality ways that kept you separated from Him in the first place.
Amen.
Got a question for you. When was the last time you actually heard God speak to you through His word? Or when He did, you wasn't sure it was Him. I like that. God said, if you do all this, He said, my outward appearance. That's what Solomon happened to see. Solomon had got so deep in repairing and rebuilding the house of God, the sanctuary of God, that he was able, when God began to speak, to actually see an outward appearance of God. I want to see him as he is. But I got to do some things to me first in order to see him. God said, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Sin means child. It means to stumble. Oh, I know you don't, but there are times when I stumble. And I have to trust God to pick myself up. Because I need my land healed. My eyes shall be open, God said. And mine ears attent unto your prayer. When he talks about ears, he's talking about the broadness and the vastness of who he is. That means it doesn't matter what condition you're in, he'll hear you. It doesn't matter what trouble you're in, he'll hear you. Listen to this. Doesn't matter what mistakes you've made.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He'll hear you.
Yeah.
We've been taught for so long that if you screw up, God don't hear you. Amen. Mine ears attend to the prayer. What did he say that is made in this place? Close your eyes for a second. Imagine that you're the temple. You are the temple of God, but imagine that you're that temple that you're building for God. And you're that house of King David, which is your heart that you're building for God. Imagine God coming, sending forth a fire that'll burn up all the chaff in your life. See it happening, the chaff being burned up in your life. Now, imagine that because of the word of God in your life, you can actually sense the essence of God in your presence. That reassures you that everything is not going to be all right, but the matter has already been taken care of. You can imagine in your spirit as God burns up the chaff. And see, you have to recognize something, that the cows and the sheep represent flesh. As God burns up the flesh in our lives, where we can now see him as he is, because when we see him in us. Now we can stand firm in the gospel and say, when you see me, you see my Father. And when you see my Father, you see me, because I have humbled myself before him. I have retreated from those ways that cause trouble and cause folks to fall, cause folks to stumble, cause folks to miss out, cause folks to be hurt. I've retreated from those ideas and from those principles. And I've lifted up the self, and now I'm praying and I'm judging my own incident is my own trial, my own problem, my own seriousness of the situation that I have created for myself. I see myself turning around and retreating from this stuff. And when I retreat, I can see the face of God.
Amen.
I see his face.
Amen.
And then I can hear God say to me, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house. God has appointed you. He has set you apart, separated you. You are that house. Look at your neighbor and say that his name may be there forever. That means perpetually. Amen. That means sun up to sundown and sundown to sun up.
Amen.
I will be the house of God. And God says, and mine eyes and mine heart. Remember, his eyes talking about his appearance. His heart talking about his feelings, his will, and even intellect, which means it's the center of everything that he is.
Amen.
Say, well, God don't have feelings. Well, Hebrews said, Jesus said, we have not a high priest which was touched with our feelings. According to our affirmities. So he can be touched. If he can be touched, then the Father can be touched. Because the Son is the Father. And the Father is the Son.
Hallelujah.
But know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God. And even as I place my name and my presence in that temple that was built by man's hand, I have placed myself in the place, in the temple that was not built by man's hand. And I have established my name perpetually. Haven't I said that I will not neither leave you nor forsake you, but yet I am in that place and I am establishing my will according to my design and according to my word in that place. For ye are the temple of the living God, and ye are connected by my spirit. They use mortar and brick to connect the walls, but I am the walls in this place. And my spirit connects you all, for you are a part of each other as well as a part of me, and my presence is in the place. My countenance is in the place. My intelligence is in the place. And I am there perpetually, and I shall not leave. And I shall heal your land. And I shall lift you up, for I am a mighty God. And I have established myself in my covenant with you, even if I established it with Solomon. For I am not a respecter of persons, but I am a great God. And I've called many forth to be my sons and my daughters, that when you see them, ye shall see me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. I want to see him. I want to see him. And when it says, mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. I like the part of his eyes because the two words together symbolizes his favor. We need the favor of God. On a daily basis, from sun up to sundown, and from sun up, sundown to sunrise, we need his favor in our lives because we never know what situation or what trial we're going to find ourselves in, whether self-made or other-made. We're going to need the favor of God working in our lives. God said, my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Whatever condition you may be in, I will be there for you. If you humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, that's how you're going to know that I'm healing your land. But if you still got all this junk in your life and you've pushed it to the corner like it ain't nothing wrong with it, then you're not going to see me.
All right.
Jesus.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. It's funny. Mama used to say sometimes, don't you use that vacuum cleaner. You sweep that carpet. I'm going to sweep a carpet. Well, she meant what she said. For whatever reason it was. But you know what it did, Sister Nancy? I sweep the carpet and pull up the end of the carpet and sweep everything up under it. I did that for a long time. One time, Mama decided she going to change the carpet. I'm not there. We all out hanging out playing somewhere. When I get back, there's blue carpet on the floor. All of a sudden, wow, I get hit with this. I don't know what it was. But I immediately commenced to run it. I run up the stairs, Therese, I got up under the bed, and she got, I heard her coming up the stairs. I said, well, she can't get me now. She come upstairs with a broom. She poked me with that broom till I got tired of getting poked and come out under that bed, and she finished the task that she started. And I said, what's this for? All that garbage you swept up under my rug. And nobody did it but you, because you were the only one sweeping. That's how we do us junk in our lives. We sweep it up under a rug, and we assume that it's hidden. But you know what? Sooner or later, God gonna say, I need to put down a new rug.
Yeah.
Now you got to own up to all that junk. Thank God, God got more grace than Mama had. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk or bear before me, as David thy father walked, or he committed himself to me, or he behaved, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my what?
Statues.
My statutes, and my what?
Judgment.
My judgments, or my commandments, or my principles, or my concepts, and that which I have spoken to you. If you will do what? If you shall observe or be attentive and hearken unto them, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted it with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler of Israel. Meaning, if I accomplish, then will I accomplish that which I have spoken unto thee, that if it rain, you'll still be blessed. If the locusts come, you'll still be blessed. If the pestilence come, you'll still be blessed. Why? Because I have established my covenant, my relationship with you, and I cannot hurt myself. So if I'm aligned with you and you are aligned with me, then you have no need to fear of any of these things coming your way.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hmm. But I got news for you. If you decide to turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Yeah, this is where it gets sticky at. Because people have turned from the statutes of God.
Amen.
They have turned from the commandments of God. And they have began to worship other gods. You may not be worshiping a statue, but you may worship a car. Some folks, I got a friend who's a minister, he worships everything he gets. He worships it so much, he can't wait to see you so he can show you his pictures. And the only thing he forgets to tell you how God blessed him with it. We have found other gods. We worship pastors. We worship evangelists. We worship teachers. We worship apostles, if you can find one. We worship teachers. We have found somebody who we assume has sound doctrine, so we worship their doctrine instead of worshiping what the Word of God says.
Amen. Amen.
That's why I tell you, make sure you search these scriptures out for yourself. You find out what God has to say for you and to you. Never take a man or woman of God's word at face value. Find out for yourself. If you don't search it yourself, you'll think you have everlasting life and you'll find yourself dying by the wayside. God said, if you don't, you turn to other gods and you worship them. The word worship don't mean you got to get down on your knees there. It don't mean you got to lift up your hands. If that means if you have to allow it to separate your mindset from the power of God. See, if we fail to realize one thing, Genesis, the Revelations, was written to the church, not the world. This is, the word is for us. We have to do what God has called us to do. But there are some conditions that belong with this. For forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land. Now he's talking about you, for you are his land.
Right, right.
You better make sure you worship in him and him only.
Yeah. Amen.
You better make sure you haven't elevated anybody above him. Because he said he'll pluck it up by the roots, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight. And I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. The word proverb means parable, and the word byword means taunted. Meaning, when Jesus gave parables, nobody could figure them out. He had to make it known to them what the parable was all about. Last thing we need is for our lives to become a parable unto people, because we have turned away from the statutes and the commandments of God. From God's, I'll go New Testament on your precepts and concepts of God. We have turned ourselves away from it because we found something that's bigger and better. We want to do like Burger King people. We want to go to Burger King and have it our way. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment. It shall be an amazement to folks. You ever seen folks that you knew were high, that you assumed were so close and so high with God? And sometime down the road, you ran into them on 15, 20 years later, and you ask yourself, what the heck happened to them? Somewhere around down the road, they decided that their God was not the true and living God.
Amen.
It was an astonishment to everyone that passeth by, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook, they relinquished, or committed to self, the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Place being a spot or a condition or a body or set of peace of mind, an area of mind. It's time for us now to make up our minds exactly what we're going to do for God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Nobody can make you. First Lady said, only what you do for Christ matters.
Amen.
It might matter to earthly people, but it don't matter to God. Whatever you do, if you do it for his glory,
amen,
so that he can get the praise out of it. We've got to turn from them ways that are wicked, that we have hid, that we don't think are wicked. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I got some stuff in here I need to change. I need to get rid of. I need to cut out. Because I know what I want from God. And the only way to do it is to humble myself before him and seek his face. And retreat from those morality ways that I know are keeping me from him. from knowing him. We will never know all of God, but I got news for you. I want to get as close to him as I can.
Amen.
I want to be so full of him, I can, it's overflowing. But there are things I've got to turn from, and I understand what the parable means. The parable means, if you don't serve the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, then you're playing games with God.
Amen.
And his word says he will have no other God before him. I've learned a very valuable lesson. If what you say, you can't back it up with this word, then don't say it.
Amen.
If you can't prove it, then don't say it. God told Solomon, you've got to put your moral thinking away. Because if you can't back it up with what I've already told you, then I'm going to come down and I'm going to rip your land apart. We were talking, we were joking around yesterday, and God spoke something to my spirit. I was sitting over there, and he said, remember, he said, we quote the scripture, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm surprised I can remember this. Yesterday, today, and forever. And what folks fail to realize, God was a lover then, but he was also a killer.
Yeah.
Word says he's the same yesterday, today. And today he's a lover, but he's still a killer.
Yes.
And tomorrow he'll be a lover, but he'll still be a killer. You know how God kills today? By turning us over to ourselves. That's the worst thing he could ever do, turn you over to what you used to be. Nowadays, you don't have a chance. If I missed God to the point that he turned me over to what I used to be, I wouldn't have a chance. And if I come across you, you wouldn't either. Because I was most certainly would want what you got. And I would convince myself in my mind, Samantha, that you don't need it. So, Elder Joe, we have to turn from our wicked ways. We have to retreat and humble ourselves before God. You know, the scriptures say God will put no more in than what you can bear. And we ask the question, how much can I bear? Don't ask that question. Because you'll find out. You were bearing then, you're going to still have to bear today. And it's like a cycle. It's almost like God, perpetual. It's always something in your life you've got to bear. But God said, I'll put no more on you than what you can bear. And the reason he says that is because if I'm in you, if I'm in you, if I'm before you, who can be against you? I said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. The word shall means perpetually. It can't never prosper. So if I did all this, it would be to your advantage to turn from those things that have been keeping you from him. Submit yourself to those things which get you closer to God. Because you know what? God still is a healer. He's still a deliverer. He still makes a way where there is no way. Why? Because the temple that Solomon built then, God has built now.
Yeah.
It has just went from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It has realigned itself with us so we can be that temple. We're no longer the temple of David, but we're the temple of God. The Bible says, for ye are the temple of God.
Amen. Yes, we are.
I like what First Lady said, conduct yourselves accordingly. That's how we got to conduct ourselves. That's how we're going to have to live our lives accordingly, like we are the temple of God. And if you don't recognize it, you better wake up. America is not a country that loves God. God is a God that just loves America. You know why he loves America? Because you and you and you and you and all the other churches that got people in it that have faith in him. That's why. So I'm going to be like Solomon. I'm going to turn, not all of Solomon, but the greater attributes of Solomon. And I'm going to turn from those things. I'm going to retreat from those things that I know are becoming stumbling blocks and keeping me from what I need and what I have to have from God. Yeah. It's too late in the day to play games with God and play games with yourself. There is. What's that? Where's that at? Thessalonians? Thessalonians? Or Peter? There is a person that has crept in the unawares. Guess what? He crept in on Solomon too. Just because you know God and you've presented your temple to God don't mean you're not going to go through things. You're going to go through some stuff. But you have to stand on the principles of God's word. It's only been the word of God that's got me through some things. Because my mind was trying to convince me to go crazy. The old man said, you might as well just go crazy. They'll lock you up, feed you all them drugs every day. You'll be fine. You won't know where you at, what you eating. I told him, forget you, I like the smell of air too much. Sometimes you have to take authority over your own flesh.
Amen.
Well, all the time. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
All of the time.
Because
he don't never let up. He talks to you in the midday, in the midnight hour, in the early morning hours. Talks to you at 4:45 a.m. in the morning when you know that there's a prayer line that's been made, and he tells you, man, you know you tired. Somebody else is doing it.
Yeah. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. For those that yield themselves to that mind, then they cannot please me, saith the Lord. But if you shall turn and follow the new nature which I have placed within you, then you shall see me, you shall feel my countenance in my presence. Wherever you go, and you shall have my guidance, for I am a living God, and I move within my temple amongst all the members to let them know that I am there amongst them to help them. To encourage them, to exhort them to goodness, to that they might know my statutes and my ordinances and my commandments that I've laid in their hearts. For the one who fulfilled all things is placed in there, and that he might carry out my will. But ye must yield unto him. Ye must yield that nature unto him. For there's another who is crept in unawares, and he would seek to
separate you from me by lifting up other ideas as God, by lifting up other things. But I am the intelligence. Yeah. I am the will and the way. I am the doctrine and the instruction. Yeah. And those that heed to it, they shall feel my presence. Their land shall be healed. They shall not break rank, and they shall go forward in my name. And I shall establish them in my presence and in my way forever, saith the Lord God. Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you something, saints. When this thing finally breaks loose on folks and they realize that their enemy is the monster inside of them, for a lot of it's going to be too late to make that turn.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You have to establish who you are in God and allow the kingdom of God to establish itself in you. That's how important this is. I remember years ago, we were bowling and we would shoot the number 64666. Everybody was talking about that's the devil. I got so tired of hearing that mess. Now when I shoot it, don't nobody say nothing, because they don't want to hear me say that ain't the number of the devil. That's you.
Amen.
Don't want to hear it. I shot it last night in the baby 666. And everybody looked at it. Didn't nobody say a word. I was waiting. I said, that ain't number the devil. That's your number.
Amen.
They said, you better get that devil out your house. He in my house, he gonna die in there. So he don't want to go in nothing that he gonna have to die in. And my Bible already told me Solomon forgot this. He didn't reverence this. He didn't have the information that we have now.
That's right.
Jesus hadn't come and died on the cross for him.
Man.
My Bible says that Jesus, at some time after his death, went down and took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So what you scared of him for? I'm going to be honest with you. Satan kicked Solomon's butt.
Say that.
He was around back then.
Yeah.
Say that.
Wasn't nothing for him to be afraid of.
Come on now.
Because God wasn't living in men. He was moving on men.
Right.
He got all this stuff. He got the wisdom that God that he prayed for. Supernatural wisdom to understand the difference between right and wrong in other people. And not just in, but he didn't understand it in himself, Brother Andy. He got caught up on sensationalism and flesh.
Yeah.
And Satan began to whip his butt with women. Wife after wife. He took your wife. You take your wife. Taking men's wives that he knew didn't belong to him. Ain't nobody perfect. If I ever meet a perfect person, first lady, he ain't never going to get rid of me. I'm going to get me some chains and chain myself to him, because I want to know what he did to become perfect. Because I ain't never seen nobody perfect. I see folks make mistakes all the time. Amen. Telling yourself, God has given me the uncanny ability to know what goes on in this church, whether it's spiritual or carnal. Don't get it twisted. I no longer just protect myself, I have to protect you. And I will. Solomon forgot he was supposed to be protecting the people of God. You keep getting the blessing, folks forget. Don't let your blessing turn your head on God.
Right.
Amen. Who was told, I don't forgot, one of the ministers came here, told the story that this guy, I don't know who it was, he kept crying about, if I get me a new car, I ain't never going to miss church. I mean, never. I'm never going to miss church. God be my witness. He got this faking brand new car. Showed up in church the first week he had it. It was all good. He showed up the second week he had it. It was all good. He showed up the third week he got it. And he left early. He showed up the next week he had the new car. And he left a little bit earlier. By the fifth and the sixth week he had the new car, he just drive by the church and wave. And his favorite saying would be, I may not be there, but my spirit is. Keep your spirit, bro. It wasn't 3 weeks later, his car came up missing. Did God take it? Probably not. Did he put it in a position for it to be taken? Probably so. You don't make God a promise like Solomon did and then don't honor it all the way to the end. Because you know what God is still in the business of? Getting his. That man came back to church and never missed another Sunday. But God couldn't trust him, so he gave him a car, but it wasn't a brand new one. It was a jalopy. He never missed church. Don't let God trick you. Don't let the enemy trick you into missing out what God has for you. Everybody stay.